took myself to the IV clinic to get myself checked out. Oh no, my gynecologist named Derek, he is a good man. Oh no, I'll have you fertile within days. That's what he said. Oh yeah, your fallopian tubes are blocked. Your uterus wall just don't like cock juice. Non-biological pregnancy, artificial impregnation. Non-biological pregnancy, artificial insemination. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I'd like to talk about something rather serious, actually, and that is the issue of in vitro fertilisation, IVF, in vitro fertilisation, and the potential damage it could do to the future of humanity. Now, I know it's a very serious issue, and there's perhaps nothing more upsetting for most people than having than infertility, than finding that they are unable to have a child. This is not something to be taken lightly. I started with that song, which was a song which was written by many years ago, over 20 years ago, for the Durham Review. I used to write comedy sketches for the Durham Review, and that was written by somebody that was one of the people in the Durham Review when I was there, called Joe Hodgson, who was a very clever and very very witty guy. And I thought that I should start with something like that, because there is a degree to which people seem to take IVF rather lightly. They seem to think that it's the solution. People have fertility problems, and so the solution we've since the 1980s that we've been blessed with is IVF. If you have fertility problems, well, we all have health problems. That's your particular fertility problem, and consequently, you hopefully, you know, it's difficult. It's expensive in many countries. In Finland, it's very expensive to have IVF. It's not done on the health service, and it's not done on the health service because it's not considered in a sense to be a medical issue. It's not an issue of life and death. It's a different thing. But anyway, it's a difficult process. The woman has to be drugged up. It's a very, very stressful process. There's all kinds of issues involved, and it helps the people who, unfortunately, for whatever reason, can't have children to have children. What a wonderful thing it is. And so there's a sense in which we take it lightly, and that song, of course, took it rather lightly. But let's. I want to sit back today, and I want to look at the problems which are associated with IVF, and then I want to look at why these problems exist, and I want to look at what this means for the future of humanity. Because what it means for the future of humanity is growing dysgenics, is a growing crumbling genome, is growing genetic ill health. To a quite extraordinary extent, of a kind that's never been seen in the history of humanity before. So, what is the consequences of IVF? The children of IVF, and I list all of the studies below, are more likely in adulthood to have high blood pressure with resultant risk of strokes and all kinds of other problems. They are more likely to have diabetes. They have a twofold risk of perinatal death and of being born preterm. Being born preterm is then associated with all kinds of other problems of mental health and of physical health. Children who are born early, born via IVF, are more likely to have problems such as undescended testicles. They are more likely to have many, many, many childhood illnesses to an extremely severe degree, implying they have weak immune systems. They are more likely later in life to suffer from heart disease. They are more likely to suffer from depression, which is, of course, a debilitating illness associated with suicide, and indirectly with infertility. They are more likely to suffer from autism, being mind blindness, an inability to understand the feelings of others, and also hypersensitivity to noise and easy stimulation. They are more likely to suffer from behavioural disorders and antisocial behavioural disorders, poor behaviour at school. They are more likely to suffer from ADHD, that's attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, whereby they can't concentrate, they can't sit still, and that sort of thing. They are more likely to have problems such as Tourette's syndrome, which is a neurological problem where you have tics and you can't control them, and so you shout out and make noises. They are more likely to suffer from later in life from leukemia and other kinds of cancer. They are more likely to suffer from a number of other extremely obscure genetic or epigenetic conditions, such as Beckwith-Wiedemann syndrome, which involves overgrowths, massive tongues, things like this, such as Engelmann syndrome, which involves balance problems and mental retardation. And in the most severe case, they are, you have what's called ICSI. This is intraectoplasmic sperm injection. So this happens when the male sperm is so weak, is so feeble, is so unmodal, just doesn't move around, and you have to inject it, actually inject it into the egg. And that's going to cause, obviously, hereditary infertility. But I'll look at that in a minute. But so you have all kinds of problems that are associated with IVF. Now, where have these problems come from? Well, there was an interesting study actually, which looked at differences between children that are born via IVF and children that are born via just from parents who are subfertile, have trouble having children, and simply keep trying and keep trying and keep trying until they do. And the interesting thing that was found was that the difference, there was no, there, although there was a clear difference between children born to normal parents that have children easily, there was no clear difference between the children born using IVF on measures such as likelihood of heart problems or high blood pressure or whatever, and the children born normally to subfertile parents. And one of the ways that can happen is if parents who are infertile are given IVF, then it somehow can stimulate the woman in particular, and so therefore the second they might have a second child via normal means. And what was found is that when that happens, there's no actual significant difference between the two children in terms of these health outcomes. And so what this implies is it's not the nature of IVF, although you might say that at a very early stage of conception, everything should be done in the way nature intended, and any deviation from that is likely to cause problems. That's not actually what is causing the health problems in these IVF offspring. What's causing the health problems is genetic factors, is basically high mutational load. That is causing the problem, because it's both the parents that are subfertile and the parents that have children via IVF, the children offspring have the same problems. So what's going on? Well, what's going on is obvious. People should be able to get pregnant, and they should be able to fertilize females in the normal way. If they can't do that, then there's something wrong with them. Now, that can be caused as a consequence of treatment for cancer or whatever, but in general, what it's a reflection of is high mutational load. They have high mutational load. This means they are basically genetically sick. This means that because of that, they can't, they have a low sperm count, or their sperm is slow swimming, or their immune system is overactive in the case of a woman, and so it's impossible to get them pregnant, or they have polycystic ovary syndrome, or they have endometriosis, or whatever other cause there is of infertility in females. This is a reflection of high mutational load. And because they have that example of high mutational load, meaning that they can't get pregnant or they can't impregnate a woman, they have general high mutational load, and so therefore they have other genetic problems, and are likely to pass on these genetic problems to any offspring which they have. And these genetic problems include propensity towards heart disease, towards high blood pressure, towards cancer, towards depression, towards autism, and any other number of problems which are associated with IVF children. So what is happening with these IVF children is you have parents with high mutational load who, under natural conditions, because they have high mutational load, would not be able to conceive, would not be able to conceive, would not be able to have children. They are being permitted or allowed using this technology to have children, and therefore they are passing on their high mutational load to the offspring. So it makes sense that the offspring that is born via IVF would not would have higher mutational load than is the norm among children, and therefore would be more ill than is the norm among children, normal children that are born normally. So this is what's going on now. There's another dimension to this as well, which is that with the females, you are that's just a case of something wrong with them, so they can't get pregnant, and so they've got high mutational load. With the males, there's an issue which makes this even worse, which is that the nature of IVF is that you take a sperm that is moving and that has a tail and that is normal, and you cause that to render the woman pregnant. Now, but under natural conditions, the man produces a billion spermatozoa, and the best possible sperm gets through. Now, we do not have the technology to be able to identify the best possible, the healthiest possible sperm that would get through. The woman, remember, treats the sperm as an enemy agent to be destroyed, to be wiped out, to be killed. And only the best, only the fittest possible sperm gets carrying the lowest level of mutational load, gets through her defences, gets through her vaginal mucus, gets through everything that is thrown at these sperm in order to destroy them. We do not have the technology to identify which is that one in a billion best sperm. So all we can do is just take one of the sperm that looks pretty good, of which there are millions, and impregnate the woman with that. Therefore, statistically, that is likely to be a suboptimal sperm. That is likely to be an unhealthy sperm. And so even if there's nothing wrong with the male genetically, even if it's the woman that has the problem, the woman has endometriosis or something that causes her not to be able to get pregnant, and she has a healthy husband, you are taking a suboptimal, unhealthy sperm from that man, a sperm from that man who may be quite low in mutational load that will itself be high in mutational load, and you are impregnating the woman with that sperm. So if, therefore, you have these two separate reasons why you would expect offspring that are born using IVF to be genetically unhealthy. And it's made even worse if you use ICSI, which is a process whereby the man's sperm is so bad, of such bad quality, that you take a sperm that is not even moving about. So it's immobile, it's that unhealthy, and therefore you inject it into the egg to make it impregnate it, because it's so unhealthy that it wouldn't normally bother to impregnate it. And in that case, of course, the men that have those kinds of that problem, that need that treatment, it's been shown, have short fingers, they have very long index fingers, and these are signs of basically low testosterone and congenital infertility. And so it means it's extremely likely that men that use that process are going to pass on congenital infertility to their children. And so their children will likely require IVF. And similarly, if a woman that has endometriosis and can't get pregnant, and she has endometriosis at quite a young age, has a daughter, it's quite likely the daughter will inherit endometriosis and therefore require IVF or something like that herself. And so by using IVF, we are creating, and that's now about 4% of Western populations that are born using IVF, we are creating basically a caste of genetically unhealthy people, of people who are congenitally mentally sick and congenitally physically sick, moreover potentially congenitally infertile. That is what we are doing, and I think that is something that we should take quite seriously. That is something we shouldn't take lightly, and that is something we should think about, and we should particularly think about it in light of the general evidence of the crumbling genome that we have. We should remember that until 1800, we were under harsh conditions of Darwinian selection, in which 90% of people who were born did not pass on their genes. And it's been shown using computer models that in order to maintain a healthy population, 90% of any population must not pass on its genes. What happened under those extremely harsh conditions was that there was 50% child mortality, about 20% of people just didn't find a partner, and about 20% of people had children but witnessed them all die before them, meaning that ultimately they didn't pass on their genes. Thus, 90% of people did not pass on their genes. Only the very fittest 10% passed on their genes. That extremely fit 10% were both physically extremely healthy, i.e. they had very strong immune systems. People who are born via IVF, of course, have weak immune systems and are more prone to childhood diseases. They had very strong immune systems, meaning they could fight off childhood disease. And they were mentally extremely healthy as well. They would have been low in mental problems and whatever. And this makes sense because, as I've explained before on this channel, the mind is 84% of the genome. And so if you've got mutations of the body, meaning that you're going to have a poor immune system or you're going to have prone to certain illnesses that are congenital, congenital or whatever, then you will definitely have mutations of the mind. And consistent with this, research has indicated that people that have mutations of the body, these are of the mind, I'm sorry, things like depression, autism, whatever, these are comorbid with mutations of the body. And moreover, something like autism is more common the older the father is. So the older your father is, the more likely you are to have autism. And the reason for this is that autism is a manifestation of mutation. And the reason that it's associated with paternal age is that as the man gets older, he produces more de novo mutations on his sperm. And one of the most common is de novo mutations which cause autism. Now, the consequence of all this is that we are becoming a genetically dysgenic, a genetically sick population. And we've got to a point now where child mortality rate in Western countries is not 50%, which is what would be the healthy thing to ensure that we were genetically healthy. It's 1%. And about 80% of people, although this is decreasing because of various social issues, such as left-wing people saying we shouldn't have kids or whatever, but about 80% of people do pass on their genes, rather than a situation where only 10% of people passed on their genes every generation. And so what this means is that we are becoming increasingly genetically unhealthy. And it's been shown, of course, and I've looked at this again before, that people who have problems with the body are more likely to have problems with the mind. And therefore you get the phenomenon which we term spiteful mutants, which explains a great deal of what's been happening in the world of late, which is whereby if you have more and more people who have survived under our industrial conditions, the Industrial Revolution completely changed child mortality. We bring in medicine, we bring in healthcare, we bring in better conditions, whatever. And so the child mortality rate collapses. And so you have a rise in mutational load in the population. And with that, you're going to have a rise in the mental mutational load of the population. And therefore, you're going to have people with maladaptive ideas. Ideas such as that you shouldn't have children, that it's bad to have children. Ideas such as that you should put other groups ahead of your own group, which is bad for you in evolutionary terms. Ideas such as that you should even put other animals ahead of humanity. These kinds of maladaptive ideas. And it's been shown that having these kinds of maladaptive ideas is associated both with mental illness, which is a sign of mutational load, so having these kinds of maladaptive ideas is associated with other evidence of mutational load of the mind, such as depression and things like this, but it's also associated with mutational load of the body. So people that have a traditional worldview, the worldview of the right wing, of the conservative, of the religious, that would have been the worldview that was the worldview in 1800 before the Industrial Revolution, people that have that way of thinking, whereby they collectively worship a moral god and they believe in the good of their own group and ethnocentrism and these sort of right-wing values, but by the way have been shown to be... were definitely selected for because they've been shown to be about 0.7 genetic in the case of being extremely right-wing. They're associated with fertility, they're associated with mental health, they're associated with physical health, there are specific parts of the brain that have been highlighted that are associated with them, they're found in all cultures. So these are clearly an adaptation, and people that still have those adaptive views, those people have more, their faces are more symmetrical, which implies if you have a symmetrical face, it means you've been able to maintain a symmetrical phenotype in the face of disease, which means you have a low mutational load because you've been able to fight off the disease. If you have a higher mutational load, you will have to use disproportionately more of your bioenergetic resources to fight off disease because you're unhealthy, and so therefore you'll be less able to maintain a symmetrical phenotype. And so it makes sense that people that we have selected concomitantly for physical and mental health, and it makes sense that people that have these adaptive views that would have been selected for under Darwinian conditions are going to have better physical health, and therefore they're going to be literally better looking. Their faces are going to be more symmetrical. Similarly, it's been found that people who deviate from the religious view, the collective worship of a moral god, are more likely to have hands and fingers that are asymmetrical. I look at this in a paper I did called "The Mutant Says in His Heart There Is No God." And so this is what has happened. So it means that we get this collapse and we get these spiteful mutants, these people who would have died under normal Darwinian conditions. Russians who have maladaptive bodies, and you see this with these Antifa people that you see images of, these maladaptive bodies and maladaptive minds, minds which attempt to push the group in a maladaptive direction, which reach a position of power and say to the group, it is good for you to put the interests of other groups ahead of your own. It is good for you not to have children. It is good for you to believe that life is pointless. It is good for you not to believe in God. It is good for you to believe life has no eternal significance. It is good to put animals ahead of your own. It is ahead of humanity. It is good for you to engage in role. It is for you to infertilize yourself in various ways. These are all good things. And because we are a highly pro-social species, those people are able to manipulate those around them into negative social epistasis, into engaging in things which are not in their genetic interests, in things which are costly to their fitness. And that's what these people have done, and that's why they've dragged us in this damaging direction that we see now in America and particularly whatever, because we are this pro-social species, and so we're used to a situation where we are with other people who are genetically adaptive. If we're not with people like that, then we can be negatively influenced by them to be maladaptive, in the same way that depression has been shown to be, yes, highly genetic, but it's also been shown to be contagious. If you're with someone that's depressed, you're more likely to become depressed. And so it can spread through the population. Nihilism can spread through the population. And it will have done this increasingly over the last 200 years, because you're going to have more and more and more people who would never have survived under normal Darwinian conditions, who have survived, and their children have survived, and their grandchildren have survived, and they are not just they are not just physically sick, but they are mentally sick as well. They're mentally maladapted, and their negative social epistasis, their negative ideas, spreads and maladaptively influences even relatively healthy people. Not completely healthy, but like religious people, they would be immune to this, but relatively healthy people within the population. So what we would expect is that people who are born via IVF would be, they are, in a sense, it's even more extreme than these people who wouldn't have survived under Darwinian conditions, which, by the way, would be about 90% of the population. It's even more extreme, because it's not that they would have been born and they were so mutated that they would die young and not pass on their genes, or not pass on their genes to any significant extent. They would literally never have been born at all. And so you would expect these people that were born via IVF to be even more mentally and physically sick, which seems to be the case, and therefore potentially, actually, even more likely to have maladaptive worldviews, although that remains to be seen. But that's what one would predict would be the case. And the other problem comes with the collapse of humanity, of civilization, because as I've shown in other videos, we are becoming less intelligent. We are becoming less intelligent by about 2 points a decade or something like that. We have lost about 15 IQ points between 1880 and the year 2000, which is the difference between a school teacher and a science professor. And the reason for this is because intelligence is weakly negatively associated with having children. Why is that the case? Well, because contraception, people who are more intelligent, they're more planful, they think about the future more, they're more likely to use contraception. People that have lower intelligence are more impulsive, they're less likely to think about the future, and they're less likely to use contraception. And consequently, they have more children. And there's now a situation in Britain where those that have the IQ of 100, where both people are working, both in a family, you have those, if you compare it to those that have an IQ, let's say 90, where one person's on welfare, and then those, let's say IQ 80, where both parents are on welfare, only those with the IQ of 80 have above replacement fertility. So we're becoming less intelligent. Now, what that is going to mean, and we know this is happening for genetic reasons, because research from Iceland has shown that alleles that are associated with very high intelligence are decreasing in the population over the last three generations. And I've looked at this in my book, At Our Wit's End. Now, what this means, of course, is that eventually we will collapse back to Darwinian conditions, because intelligence is associated with all aspects of civilization and being able to maintain civilization. That's what we would predict would happen. Now, when that happens, there will be mass death. There will be chaos. But it will be perhaps even more extreme if our population is so genetically damaged. One raises the question of, could we survive at all if we're that genetically deracinated, if everyone is so sick? In a situation that's never occurred before in human history. And IVF simply makes that situation even worse. And so for all these reasons, I'm very skeptical of IVF. I know people who have had IVF, and indeed I know people, young people admittedly, who've been born via it. And yeah, I appreciate that it's a very difficult and sensitive issue. It must be one of the worst things possible to not be able to have children. But I'm afraid the consequences of it are potentially extremely negative, both for the products of it and for society itself. And for those who can't have children in days of yore would be group selected. Unable to have children, they would invest their energies in the good of society. And it's been shown that societies that are more group selected, that have more people that invest their energies in the good of society rather than in their own offspring, are more likely to survive in the battle of group selection. That's been demonstrated using computer models. So that might be something that's worth thinking about. But certainly, I was asked to do a video on this, and I felt it best to bring together all the information. There are serious potential negative side effects to IVF. And one of them is simply a future where more and more and more people are very, very genetically sick and are highly infertile. And so consequently, I'm not so sure that IVF is a particularly good idea. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this video. And if you have, then please feel free to please subscribe. Please watch me. I'm on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time. I live stream 2 p.m. New York. If you want to support the channel, you can do so in the means you will see below. And I will see you soon. And goodbye.